Why me, Lord? I can't believe that my falling in love with somebody on the beach in the spiritual sense as a brother in Christ would lead to this. That we've actually built a school in the Dominican.
That is the voice of Denise McNabb. Denise is relatively new to our Covenant family, but embodies something that we talked about last week, and that is joining God on the mission he has for you in a way that may be unique to how he has wired you. It's about saying yes to opportunities that are in front of you and watching what God does that might just blow you away. Today's podcast is an interview, and it is quite a bit longer than our usual podcast, but we hope that it will be a blessing and encouragement to you on your own journey on mission with God. We are glad to have you with us for episode 12 of the Covenant Weekly Podcast, The Abundant Life Charity. It's great to be here with Denise McNabb. Denise, why don't you start, before we get into talking about Abundant Life Charity, why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about you and your husband, Kevin, and kind of how you ended up being in our area and connecting with Covenant.
My name's Denise, and as John said, married to Kevin, and we have three adult children. And we have five grandchildren. So life is pretty busy. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that we have two dogs and a cat. And we love them very much. We have three fur babies as well. So how do we end up at Covenant? Well, we were living on Lake Simcoe. And we have friends up in Georgian Bay. And we were visiting many times over the years, and every time I came up, I just felt like it was home. And then I'd leave and I'd sort of feel a bit of a pang of, oh, I wish I lived up here. So as we looked towards our retirement, which is still a little ways off, but we just thought that we would look at moving up. And so we did last year. And, you know, then it was setting about to find a church and where we could actually be part of a community. But then, so looking for a church, we visited a few, but we walked into Covenant, and in the first set of worship, I just really felt the Holy Spirit, and I just thought, I feel at home. And so that was it. So I told Kevin he had to be at home too. Not exactly like that, but just found it to be a very welcoming place, and people certainly love Jesus, and that's what is important.
That's great. We're glad that you have connected with us, and I mean, you started during a pandemic, and so probably still more people you have not met than you have, but we look forward to getting to know you more and you getting to know us more in the time ahead. But we are not here primarily to talk about that. We are here because, you know, last week on the podcast, I talked a little bit about how God has shaped and wired us all uniquely to participate in his mission in the world. And Covenant's primary posture is not trying to tell everyone, here's what you should do, but to help people discern where God is leading them. And then as people discern that, how we can support them. And I'm really excited because there was a time a while ago that you felt God leading you into something, and you reached out to share that with me. And I thought this is just a great opportunity to practice what we preach, to come alongside you and to celebrate what God is doing in your life, and to even invite others into finding out about it and seeing if God might be inviting others to get involved as well. And so the charity is called Abundant Life Charity. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about how this charity that you have started got going and sort of the origin story?
Yeah, well, it was back in about 2008, 2009 that we went to the Dominican for the first time. And all I can say is we just fell in love with the Dominican people. they were just so generous and kind and lots of fun. And we just loved it there. So in subsequent years, when we took a holiday, we went back to the Dominican. We didn't want to go anywhere else. It was about 2011, I think. We were sitting on a beach and we met this server. He was our beach server and his name was Gabby. And we got talking with him and there was clearly a connection right from the get-go. And over the course of that week's holiday, we found out that he was a Christian. And then we found out, as he asked us how many children we had, he told us he had 54. And I thought, that's a strange Christian, that is, 54 children. But he went on to say that he had four of his own and he looked after 50 children. And so we explored that a little bit and talked about it. And he was trying to help those children, particularly from Haiti, that didn't have the paperwork to be able to get an education for all sorts of reasons. If they're third generation, even in the Dominican, but their grandparents came over without papers, they weren't able to access education. Interestingly, back in Canada over the previous few years, I had been running a direct sales jewelry company, and I was in the fortunate position that I actually really didn't need the money. And so because I'd fallen in love with the Dominican people, I decided I would give the profits back to charity, back to somewhere. And so I just thought, well, what I would really like to do is to help these kids get an education. So I started saving the money. And I really felt that God had laid it on my heart. And I had a sign up in my jewelry sales, like, yes, you can build a school with bling. And people said, well, what's all that about? So I just said, I'm just giving the profits back to, I want to save to be able to build a school or do something to help with education in the Dominican. And so then I met Gabby, and it was like, he told me too, that he'd had this vision that God really wanted him to build a school in the Dominican. And so I thought, well, that's cool. And that was it, really. We talked a little bit about that. And then, you know, we came home and we exchanged addresses and phone numbers. And we talked a couple of times that year. And I didn't think a lot more about it at the time, to be fair. But then we went back the next year and then we met him again. And over the last, well, now, what, 12 years, we have been back very many times. And over that time, we have slowly and consistently built this relationship. And he is a man that you can completely and utterly trust. He's such a godly man. He's my hero, actually. His third world faith really collides with my first world faith and really challenges me. He will give you the shirt off his back. He lives in a very meager little home. I call it the Jerusalem house. I haven't been to Jerusalem, but I've seen pictures, you know, and they're concrete homes with the steps going up the side of the house. He'd put a barrier all around the flat rooftop so he could have these kids come up the outside steps and onto the rooftop where they would, Wednesdays, it was their worship night, and they would make sure they always had something to give them to eat because the children will come. And then that they could, you know, teach some Christian values, moral values, and just be there for them. And he had this heart that if he could somehow teach them math and English, because most of these children weren't in school, that they would be able to get a job in the tourism industry. So when he told us that, we decided that we would help buy him some tablets for these kids to be able to learn. So that was really the beginning. You know, this guy, Gabby, would send us receipts and photos via WhatsApp every time to show us where he'd spent the money. So it started off very slowly, but as we found him to be so completely honest and full of integrity and a man of his word, our faith and our trust to actually build something bigger with him just grew.
It sounds, as you're talking, like relationship was key. Like, first of all, his relationship with the kids, and then as you got to know him and his context, and it was a relationship to the Holy Spirit, just kind of leading you into the next small step and the next small step and the next small step.
Mm-hmm. It's only when I look back, John, that I can really join all the dots, because at the time, you know, I just thought, oh, he's interested in building a school. And, you know, and I was, well, I've saved some money. Perhaps we'll bring down $10,000, you know, one time or something to help. But it's looking back that I joined the dots to see how, you know, to see how it happened.
That's great. So now, you know, we're talking about, you know, said 12 or so years later. What are the core things that this charity has come to stand for?
Well, as we've got to know the Dominican more, we've been off resort and we have seen, you know, the abject poverty, and we've seen the poverty that really that Gabby lives in with his now, he's got seven children of his own because he married a lady who had twins and whose husband had abandoned her. And then they had one child of their own. So they've got seven. And now there was about 70 children. What we really wanted to do, my core thing was always, I wanted to be able to provide some education for these children who couldn't get education. But it was also to ensure that they still had spiritual guidance and that we could relieve some of this poverty in the Dominican. So that's really our three things. It is to provide education, spiritual guidance, and relieve poverty. We are focused mainly on the spiritual direction and the providing education. The charity, we formed it in 2019 because Kevin and I realized that there was just too much to do. We just couldn't possibly do it all. And we really needed help. So, you know, we started really thinking about starting the charity and trying to get others to join us.
That's great. What are some of the things you talked about, education, spiritual guidance, and relief from poverty, with so far the main focus is being on education and spiritual guidance. What are some ways that that's playing out on the ground now?
Well, in terms of the education, what we started off with was that we built a small salon on the sidewalk outside of his house. And we were able to build that and furnish it with tables and chairs and these tablets, all for about $3,000. That's how it started. Gabby was still doing church on Wednesdays for them. He is a qualified pastor. He's an ordained pastor. So he was making sure that there was, you know, Sunday services on this rooftop. You know, his wife, Ingris, is a real key part to this, because these children range from 2 or 3 years old through to, you know, teenage girls, 17 or 18. So, you know, when I say spiritual guidance and moral guidance as well, which really are hand in hand, teaching these kids about their purity and not being taken advantage of, and getting them off the streets and knowing that people care for them and that every time they come, they will get something to eat, even if it is only, you know, cheese whiz on a piece of bread or a sucker, but they're getting something. And we've been to some of these church services, usually on a Wednesday night when we're down in the Dominican, and it's all in Spanish, but the Holy Spirit is there. And it's just amazing. You just know that God's there, and he's doing a big work there. And it's just amazing to see.
So you have these services regularly and the education pieces that happen in the salon.
Well, that's how it started, John, because now we have a school, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Can I just ask you, also mention something in the notes here about a baseball team?
Oh, yeah. So Gabby with some coaches run a baseball team, and there's some really good baseball players, apparently. I'm not a baseball player. I don't particularly watch baseball, so I'm not able to say whether they're good or not, but apparently they are. But these kids that want to be on the baseball team, they have to go back to, they practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they have to go back to the now school that we have to learn math on one night and English on the next, and they have to do that for an hour and a half after their practice, or they can't be on the team. And so this is a good way of encouraging them in their physical skills, but also their education. And it's out of that that Gabby has gained, or partly out of that, he's gained so much respect from these teenagers, because he loves them wholeheartedly, but he also disciplines them for their good. The other piece that I just didn't touch on, and sometimes we do these extra fundraisers, and we're able to provide food for the people on the Baté. A Baté is a sugar plantation that Gabby's been associated with. He knew the pastor that lived on that Baté, who's sadly passed away. The children, they hear the van and they've gotten to know it's the food van when Gabby goes. And they come out like, I don't know whether the Pied Piper is just an English fairy tale, but it's like that. Gabby's like the Pied Piper. They come out and they're running after the van. And we've been able to do that several times. And we take enough food to feed the 80 families for a week when we go. And we try to, as funds permit, we try to send money for Gabby to be able to do that more frequently when we're not there. These are people trying to live in just squalid existence. And how can you come home and not do anything about it?
Well, as you've followed God's leading, stuff is being done about it, which we are grateful for. Why don't you tell me what you're most proud of that has been accomplished through the charity so far?
There's two things. There's a big thing and there's a small thing. The small thing is that how we've set up the charity, and after lots of research, I'm able to get money from the charitable account, but from donations clearly, but into Gabby's hands in the Dominican in 24 to 30 hours. I send that regularly, monthly, so that's what's, you know, expected. They know what amount is coming in to run the school. But we've been able to do that when there's been the hurricanes down in the Dominican. And there was this one time that Gabby called me, and he said, the people on the Baté have no water at all. And I said, if I send you money, can you get water to them? I said, can you take it in the van? Can you go? And he said, yes, there was water in the stores to buy. So I said, I'll go to the bank right now. And I sent the money. It was 10 o'clock one morning. And he sent me a video the next morning of them with all of this food and all of this water actually in the Baté. It was just over 24 hours, I think. It was all of the money was in the hands of the people that desperately needed it. So that's the small thing. The big thing is, and this is very clearly God at work, Kevin lost his job, and we were in the States, and we were coming back to Canada, and he didn't have a job. And so he had several months when he wasn't working, and he started to go for interviews, and he got appointed to work at Home Hardware as a CEO. Just 3 months later, we were on a trip with Home Hardware, and they're very aligned with our mission of giving back. And the husband of a new employee that Kevin had brought in said to me, Denise, you know where the trip is next year? And I said, no. He said, it's the Dominican. And I said, oh, that's nice. Not thinking anything of it. I'm a newbie on the block. And he said, you need to speak to my wife. He said, they need a project for the Dominican. They don't have one there. And you should talk about what you need in your charity. So I was like blown away, because we had just been working on a school in Mexico where we were. That's where we were with the Home Hardware. And anyway, so I talked and with his wife. She said, yes, can we build the ground floor for you? Can we help you build the ground floor of the school? I wasn't going to say no to that, was I? So I was just blown away. And she said, so we need a piece of land. And I said, well, we've been looking for a piece of land down there. She said, well, you better go buy it. I said, well, actually, I'm going down in 10 days. So it was all so God orchestrated, everything lined up. I just arrived there. I was going down as part holiday and part ministry trip with my girlfriend, and told Gabby, you got 10 days, find us a piece of land. And so we looked at three pieces of land and we bought a piece of land while I was down there. So we did that. And then a year later, just under a year later, with Home Hardware's help and a substantial donation at that time, the ground floor of the school was about 85-90% complete. And then we went down with a team of dealers and vendors that were going on this convention, and we went back in to finish the school. And so we had 200 people that had to do at least 3 hours of sort of ministry, giving back. So we went in on buses, and the bus couldn't get down to the school because it's such a bad road. So they had to get off. All the people had to get off the bus at the top of the road, and Gabby led them down on his motorbike, just singing. And all the children were in the perimeter with banners up saying, "We love you and Jesus loves you." And that's how it started. And we painted, we parged, we put in toilets, sinks, light fixtures, like all the structure was there, the electricals were there. And what was so amazing was that all the people from the community were coming out to help, because Gabby had told them 10 years previously he was going to build a school in that area, and God had told him he was going to build a school. And after 10 years, the people didn't really believe him. And then they saw it starting, and then they saw these busloads of people coming in to help them. And I've got goosebumps just talking about it. I mean, it was one of those, why me, Lord? I can't believe that my falling in love with somebody on the beach in the spiritual sense as a brother in Christ would lead to this, that we've actually built a school in the Dominican.
That's beautiful. And what, can you remind me what year that was that the school was built?
It was 2020, January 2020.
January 2020, what was happening in the world then?
January 2020, at the end, we built the school. March, COVID happened.
So the school gets built and then COVID hits. What's been the impact of that on the charity, on the work that Gabby's doing, on the school, on just the people in the Dominican?
Well, of course, it was a whole new learning curve for everybody. We were very fortunate that as part of the Home Hardware trip, a lot of people, vendors and dealers, caught our vision, and we actually got some significant donations. Without that, we wouldn't have been able to keep, get going. We didn't actually open school till the November. That was when there was a little break in COVID. It was raging to start with, and then they felt it was safe, but we could only have 50% of the children in there. So all of the children that we wanted to give an education weren't receiving it. The teachers, of course, had to go on courses. They didn't really know how to use all this technology, and we had to get some extra technology into the school. They managed to bring in children, very small numbers of children we were allowed, in the different classrooms, and keeping them completely separate, and do Zoom meetings with them. No, sorry, we would do Zoom meetings sort of in one room, the teacher was somewhere else, and then the children could come in and bring in their homework. So it was really very tough for the first year. But Gabby is not going to be deterred by anything. I was still like, okay, well, we built the school, which doesn't necessarily mean we got all the money to run the teachers and pay for everybody, but have faith, sister, he said, have faith. It'll all be good. Right? And he's right. He's right. But for him, they desperately, desperately needed money from outside, because the tourism industry had just tanked. And that's where parents of children, generally, that's where they work, in the tourism industry. The school is in a little town called Higüey. Well, it's not a little town, it's a dormitory town. really for all of the workers for the resorts. The resort that we go to is in Punta Cana, and it's about 45 minutes by car, an hour on the bus. And so there was nobody working. Resorts were just closed. So there was no money. So there's no money coming into the school from many children that would just pay a very, very minimal amount. There was just absolutely no money. They were focused on just trying to put food on the table. Very, very difficult times. And it, you know, we were struggling here in Canada, weren't we? But we had no idea. They had no idea what a real struggle was.
And are they beginning to emerge from the pandemic? Like, it feels we are starting to here?
Yeah, they are. The resorts are opening. So they are recovering. It's slow, though, because, you know, people were still reluctant to travel, even perhaps when they were allowed to. And many people just weren't going because they couldn't afford it, because they'd lost their jobs here in Canada. So yes, it's been a struggle. And it's been a struggle for the charity, because people haven't had the money to be as generous as they were right at the very beginning. So it has been a struggle to maintain, you know, what we need. Gabby doesn't work at the resort at all now. That's where we met him. He doesn't work there at all. He is, you know, running the school, and we have our charity, and we pay into a foundation down there, which is linked to a church. So we have a covering down there. But he works with that foundation and running the school, and of course he's still doing the church.
So as you look ahead, there's the maintaining the school and the funds to help, you know, provide food for the kids' kind of church events and things like that. What are the, in addition to that maintenance stuff, are there other special projects coming up? What are the biggest needs right now?
The biggest needs right now are, we're managing to maintain. We're just about able to maintain. But we really need more monthly donors, because we have not met our monthly goal for donations that just to run the school, because we have five teachers now and we have some support staff, security, and of course Gabby as well.
What is the monthly goal?
The monthly goal is that we need 6,000 Canadian dollars with a current exchange rate is what we need.
And that funds five teachers, Gabby, and the food for the church.
And that is covering the bare minimum. It doesn't cost like if the generator breaks. It doesn't cover the food for the bate. So that's extra.
That's extra things. Okay.
You know, what Kevin and I would like to do with our donations into the charity is to be putting those more towards some capital builds and projects, and just know that the school and food for the bate and the church is taken care of by monthly donors or yearly donors. So the thing that we're trying to concentrate really on this year is we desperately need to build a well, because they don't have good water. The water is deteriorated. What they do for the school and the church, and if they take water to the bate, is they have to buy, you know, like our big jugs. And they're very expensive to buy down there. And then there's the problem of carrying it all, right? You can only take so many jugs of water to places. Gabby has done all of the research on this well. And it's going to cost us about $25,000 to do this well. But the benefit of that is that it will be the first income stream for the charity down there, because it's not a personal well, it's an industrial well. And they've got a piece of land that they can put it on. And the water will all be, you know, sanitized. I mean, the well water should be good, but it will also all be sanitized. There'll be this treatment plant around it to make sure it's safe. And what the intent is that that will provide free water to the Bate and to the school and to the church. But those in the community that are having to buy this water from supermarkets at a very high price, we will sell it to them for 50% of the cost. So the community are benefiting and the charity will be benefiting because that will be their first income stream. And as much as we're wanting to help, going to continue to help, we also want to teach them how to fish, right? Not just give them the fish, but teach them how to fish and how to help themselves. And this is something that they'll never raise the money themselves to be able to build a well. If we can do this, this could be quite a lot of money for them actually, and help the community.
And that's 25,000 US dollars or Canadian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, 25,000 US.
So that's the next big project. Anything else that is kind of on the horizon, or is that the main thing?
On the horizon is there is a possibility that we will have some more help to do the second floor on the school. And so that's still a work in progress, but there is that possibility. And that will be awesome. But to be ready for that eventuality, we have to be able to raise our monthly donors, because we've got to support another 5 teachers to be able to do that. So it's no good just having something else built. We've got to be able to raise the funds as well to support that. There's lots of great ideas. I have a great, very small, but great team of volunteers around me from the corporate world who are much better at this than I am. You know, I just started the charity. Now I need lots of help to run it.
Well, in to that end, you know, we've talked about the financial piece to a certain extent. Part of why we're talking about this is, you know, we want to celebrate what God is doing and has started doing, as you were attentive to His Spirit moving in you. We want to invite others who, as they hear this, they get excited about maybe something else that God is stirring in there, that they actually, maybe this thing that God's been stirring could actually happen. But then others may hear this and say, wow, that is so beautiful. And they resonate so much with what's happening. And even the idea that there's the possibility that they could get involved in something where they could go and visit and connect, and you know, that it could be more than just sending money to some big thing that's kind of over there somewhere, that it seems like the distance between somebody getting involved in this here and what's happening on the ground seems a lot shorter than some of the major organizations. And some people might get excited about that.
I was just going to say, we have several people that have gone down to go and visit the school. And, you know, they go on holiday, and then it's very easy for me to arrange for Gabby or our trusted taxi driver down there, Carlos, to come to the resort and pick you up, to take you out to the charity, to meet everybody, and to the school. And some of the testimonies on my website speak to that. But just a note, our website is a work in progress. It will be up and running fully this weekend. We've revamped it. So,
and tell us what that website is.
So it's abundantlifecharity.com.
.com, okay.
.com. Our original one was .org, and it's still there, but you'll see that it's rather broken. So our new one is coming at the end of this week. But if you can just put up with .org and just look and get the gist of it without criticizing us for this, it doesn't look very professional since it broke. that would be okay.
All right. So abundantlifecharity.com.
It will be the main one, yes.
If somebody wanted to either get involved financially or potentially in other ways, how would they best do that?
If they wanted to learn more, Once the new website is up and running properly at the end of this week, then that would be the place to sort of go and see what we've done and see the credibility and I guess the integrity of our charity. If they want more information, I'd be happy to talk to them. They can either email me at denise@abundantlifecharity.org, or they can call me on my cell phone, which is 647-505-1751, if they want more information. And there's donate buttons through PayPal. They can do e-transfers if they want to do monthly transfers. Honestly, monthly is ideal for us because we can budget much better when we know exactly what's coming in. But, you know, all sorts of help. It doesn't, you know, some people don't just want to give their money. They want to get involved. And there's people have just gone down to visit. And when they go to visit, they have taken like suitcases of toothpaste, toothbrushes, soap, sanitary products for young ladies, coloring books, pencils. We can use exercise books that are on sale at the beginning of the year for back to school, you know, and you can get them for some ridiculously low amount. You know, people going down there on a vacation can take an extra suitcase. That's what we have found is the cheapest way to get product there safely. Costs $25 usually on most airlines for an extra suitcase, or maybe $50. And it gets right there. We are also looking to see if we can set up some sort of ministry builds as well. Do a team of people who, you know, have trade skills. Would they like to go down and do part holiday and join over there and just give some volunteer hours? Other people have done sold lemonade, children have, right? We got $25 one time from a little girl whose parents had been, and she was so taken with it and all the photos, she sold lemonade.
Okay. And I just want to clarify one thing. Often when people give to charities, one of the questions is how much goes to administration costs?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that question, John. Honestly, other than the bank fees, the wire transfer to get the monies there, there's no other costs. We are all volunteers. I have this amazing company that's paying for my marketing, so my website is done for me. And so I get a lot of these helps. It's just done for me. Somebody who's really, you know, caught the vision. And other people doing social media and like PR stuff. And so there's no cost other than the wire transfers. So basically I can say 100%, could be 99.5%. And as I said earlier, we can send it and it can be there 24 to 30 hours from when I walk into the bank in Canada. It's there in the hands, being useful.
I really appreciate you taking the time to tell me about this, to tell us about this. I think more than that, I'm grateful that you were willing to follow the Holy Spirit leading each like kind of small step. And I'm sure as you were sitting on that beach, having this man serve you that you connected with, you could have never imagined it coming to this place. But it's amazing what God can do when we say yes to kind of that initial conversation and to the next step in a relationship, and to being willing to have a conversation with, you know, somebody else at the new company and just all the different places that God can lead. I'm just reminded of scripture saying that, you know, God can do so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. And thanks for saying yes to what God was doing in your life and for sharing this with us and inviting us to participate. And just look forward to seeing what God is going to continue to do through you and Kevin and all those who are involved in this charity. So thanks for taking the time with us.
Thank you, John. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you, and actually revisiting our story just makes me all excited all over again, right? Because God has done an amazing thing. And I would just say to anybody, you know, that God will just meet you in your everyday life and just tweak at your heart to say there's something to do here.
That's great. Thank you very much, Denise.
Thank you, John.
thanks for sticking with us for this whole podcast. We do hope and pray it was a blessing and encouragement to you to hear Denise's story and Gabby's story, and just to invite you to think about what God might be inviting you into in these days. Two very quick reminders. The first is that Good Friday and Easter are coming up. We will be having a Good Friday service, and we will be doing an Easter Sunday service, and both will be live streamed online, and we are looking forward to being able to remember and celebrate together this Easter season. The other item is that we have been promoting Kakwa's Women's Retreat. We received word today that it is actually full already, and they're on a waiting list, and so they aren't taking any more registrations. So we apologize to those of you who were excited about it. I know Angie was excited as she was looking forward to coordinating women being able to go up together. We are sorry that that is something that we are not going to be able to participate in this year, and look forward to getting at it a little bit earlier next year so that that's something that the women can enjoy together. Thanks again for being with me today, and a special thanks to Denise for joining me and sharing her story. I pray that it was an encouragement to you, and I pray that you will know the presence of God as He is with you, whatever comes for you this week. God bless. Go in peace.